Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. In the little less than 2 years since she was appointed Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services by Governor Roy Cooper, Dr. Mandy Cohen has brought an impressive and refreshing injection of competence, energy, transparency, and accessibility to the department. Cohen, an internal medicine physician who came to the department after a successful stint as the chief operating officer and chief of staff at the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, has built bridges with conservative leaders at the General Assembly while quickly mastering the dizzying array of responsibilities she now holds. Secretary Cohen joined me in studio this week. Well, Secretary Mandy Cohen, thanks for being with us on News and Views. Welcome back.
Wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you're, going on 2 years in this job now. I don't think the average North Carolinian really grasps how massive this department is that you have to keep an eye on and try to manage. Can you sort of talk to us a little bit about what it's been like and maybe remind listeners a little bit about the scope of what the Department of Health and Human Services tries to oversee?
Well, I'm so honored to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services for North Carolina. It is an incredible department, and it's been a fantastic almost 2 years now. It is incredible, the scope and breadth of the department. Obviously, we run the Medicaid program, which covers more than 2 million lives, which is one in every five people here in North Carolina. So we provide insurance for one in every five people in North Carolina. In of itself, that could is a massive job. But then we also run and oversee the public health departments. Obviously, there's local jurisdictions, but we help guide those, the work in mental health. We also have our three psychiatric state hospitals that we run and a number of residential facilities that are both skilled nursing facilities and residential facilities for those with developmental disabilities. And then we do a ton of work in the economic services and human services side of things and making sure that folks have vocational rehab, employment services. We run the TANF program, the SNAP program, formerly known as food assistance,
right,
and many others that help folks be healthy and well here in North Carolina. And then we also run early childhood education. And so we oversee early childhood programs and make sure that we're licensing those. So it's an incredible department, but I am so privileged to be able to think about the health and well-being of a state in its totality. And we own so many levers to really try to improve the lives of those in North Carolina. And that's what I've been doing over the last 2 years, is really thinking about how can we align all of those pieces of the department, because it's the same families that we're helping, whether it's to get insurance or to help get a job or to recover from a substance abuse disorder. We're in the middle of an opioid crisis. So it's been a true privilege. I was just in Anson County yesterday talking to folks about what's going on in the rural parts of our state. We have an incredible diversity in our state in terms of urban and rural and the different kinds of issues that we're seeing across the state. And we need to tailor solutions to different kinds of communities. We have an Office of Rural Health, and actually it is their 45th anniversary of being the Office of Rural Health, which is incredible that North Carolina has made that sustained commitment to rural communities in that way. That's pretty exciting. And so we have a lot of important work going on across the department, and I'm so privileged and lucky to have the best job in the state.
So this is obviously a busy time of year in this world of health and human services, and it's gotten even more complicated in the last month or two with these hurricane disasters that have afflicted our state. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the new responsibilities perhaps that have fallen on the department in responding to Hurricane Florence and
Yeah.
even Hurricane Michael?
I guess it's another piece of our work. I didn't even talk about our emergency response work that the department also oversees, which was incredible. This was my first hurricane with this team here in North Carolina, and they were teaching me, and they were incredible. And I was hearing from our federal partners who were here as part of the response that said they could not be more impressed with the response that North Carolina had for this disaster. You know, and unfortunately, I think that's because we learned some lessons from Matthew being so close in time here, but it's great that we were able to really turn on a dime and turn on a ton of really important services for folks. Our team handles emergency response, so some of the EMS workers, so that emergency response. And then we help in partnership with our counties make sure that they're able to set up all the shelters, both medical shelters as well as just regular shelters for folks. Then we obviously transition that to the Red Cross. And then we go into the long work of making sure people who were impacted have food assistance. assistance. And so
they lost their records. How do you deal with
exactly.
that kind of stuff?
We had more than 200,000 families enroll for food assistance after the hurricane. So that meant our counties, in coordination with the state, seeing more than 200,000 families come through their doors for help. But we were glad to be there. And like I said, I could not be more proud of both the state and the counties. I want to give a particular shout out to the counties who really do shoulder most of the work in these disasters. And they did just an unbelievable job. And we know the road to recovery is long, and we are going to be in recovery mode for quite some time. I've been really proud of everyone coming together to really be solution oriented in terms of recovery. The bipartisan package was really important to make a down payment on
General Assembly doing something where there was some bipartisanship.
They've made really important infrastructure investments and ongoing recovery investments. And so that continues to be a high priority for us at the department.
Another area perhaps where we're beginning to see maybe some inklings of potential bipartisanship surrounds the issue of Medicaid itself, and you've gotten a new waiver from the federal government. This is another enormously complicated area, and I don't know how easy it is to put it in layperson's terms, but basically the federal government has given the department the go-ahead to make some very significant changes to how we deliver that Medicaid, that health insurance, to 1 out of 5 North Carolinians.
Sure. This is a huge undertaking for the state. So for many, many, many years, basically the entire existence of Medicaid here in North Carolina, it has been a program administered by the state, meaning that the state pays the bills to doctors and hospitals right now. And what we're transitioning to is what we're calling managed care, or essentially private health insurance companies will administer the program or pay the bills to doctors and hospitals on the state's behalf. Now, we still oversee that program, and so we definitely still are going to set the rules of the road, but we will have those private insurance companies that will be doing the actual day-to-day administering of the program. And look, we are the largest state in the union that has not done this transition. So we have a lot of states to look to for how to do this well. But we've also seen a number of states not do it well. And so we've been really thoughtful about trying to learn lessons from around the country, both to avoid those pitfalls and to really bring the best of what's around the country. One of the biggest investments, and this is a place of bipartisanship and collaboration, has really been on how we're thinking about integrating physical health and mental health together. And right now, the way we pay is somewhat siloed, dividing that payment, and we pay the bills for physical health, things like high blood pressure or diabetes, we pay for it out of one bucket. And then if you have depression or anxiety, we pay for it out of another bucket. And I think that silo has unfortunately contributed to more fragmentation in how services are delivered. But we know everyone, you know, when you walk into the doctor's office, you don't take off your diabetes hat or you take off your depression. You're one person. And so thinking about how we can bring those back together. So we've been doing a lot of work over the last 2 years with the communities, the stakeholder communities, with the General Assembly and others, on how do we bring these pieces back together. And so we got approval from the federal government to move forward with our plan to make sure everyone has one insurance card. It's what most of us who get our insurance through our jobs have is one insurance card in our wallet. And that's what we want folks in the Medicaid program to have. And again, I think this gives better outcomes for people overall. And it's a place where actually there's cost savings associated it once you don't duplicate some of that infrastructure. So it's a win across the board, but it's a big lift.
Yeah.
It is a lesson we have learned from other states, but we still have to make that possible here in North Carolina. So a lot of work ahead on that.
We're rooting for you on that. One other big potential lift, of course, that's still out there, the big elephant in the room, is the possibility of expanding Medicaid. Obviously, a lot of folks have been pushing very hard for that for a long time. It's fair to say that the Cooper administration certainly strongly supports that. We've had new election results, maybe some inklings of light at the end of the tunnel there, that some change of heart might take place at the General Assembly?
I've been very clear, the governor's been very clear, that I think this is a must do for the state of North Carolina in terms of making it a healthier state. And then that's what I'm charged to do, right, is think about the health and well-being. But it's really not just about health care. It's really about the economy. If you look at states like Indiana or Ohio, two states with Republican governors, Governor Mike Pence, when he was governor, excuse me, Vice President Mike Pence, when he was governor of Indiana, created the Healthy Indiana program, which was an expansion of Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. And they are seeing some great results there in Indiana with their program in terms of being able to offer people more coverage. But what that really does, it's really an infusion to the economy there. It helps their rural hospitals, which they have a lot of rural hospitals in both Indiana. Exactly. So but there's a lot of lessons to learn there. And so I have been appreciative of the additional focus and talk about how do we make this work. And again, I think in North Carolina, and unfortunately it became more partisan, but look, like I said, look across the country. We see Maine, Nebraska, Kansas, Utah, other states that have now had ballot initiatives to move these forward. We see Ohio, like Governor Kasich, again, who ran on the Republican ticket for president, expand Medicaid and say just a few weeks ago, again, how that was a good decision for Ohio. I also think now we're just past the time where folks were worried, understandably so, would the Affordable Care Act go away? Right. And would the state be left holding the bag in terms of the dollars and such? But that's not a concern anymore now. It is going
to
be here. And so it's a matter of we have an opportunity to use zero state tax dollars and bring $4 billion here to North Carolina, help the people and help our economy. And so it's starting to feel like we're going to have that conversation. I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, I was just in Anson County in the rural part of North Carolina meeting with their hospital team. And like the number one thing I hear from them is we need more folks with insurance coverage. They had an 18% uninsured rate. With one in five people being uninsured, you just can't expect the hospitals and the doctors to be able to stay there. And once you lose your healthcare infrastructure, businesses are not going to be able to stay there. It is really important to the rural economy. And I should also mention the opioid crisis. I know we're going to talk a little bit about that's an important piece here.
Let's move on to the opioid crisis that afflicts our state. And I know that's been a high priority for the department throughout your tenure there. Talk to us about maybe the connection to Medicaid and just the general challenge that we face right now throughout the state.
Yeah, it's a significant, significant challenge. And we're not alone in this. This is something that's afflicting a lot of states across the country. Though what we have seen is that while some other states are making some gains and improvements, we haven't seen those improvements come here yet. Though folks are working very hard. And so I don't want to discount it. I just think that is the wave that we are against. It is a tsunami of, unfortunately, of heroin and fentanyl that is in our state. These are highly, highly addictive drugs, and it's going to be really hard to turn this tide. But we have seen the number of opioid overdose deaths skyrocket. We saw the number of emergency room overdose visits skyrocket last year, despite the fact that this, you know, we made huge investments, the federal government made huge investments, and I'm glad to have grant dollars that are flowing into the state. We've gotten thousands of more people into treatment. That's good. We've gotten more than 50,000 doses of naloxone out there on the street. That is good. We've made investments in programs like the LEAD program, which diverts people from being arrested and into treatment. All good things, but we need to do more. And it's about a sustained effort. And this is where I want to just bring back to coverage for a second and why insurance coverage is so important in this space is because recovering from an opioid addiction is not a 30-day endeavor. This is, unfortunately, a lifetime endeavor. And there's other things that come along with opioid addiction, with other, whether it's Hep C or other kinds of infections that come along with these things. Folks need insurance coverage for a sustained recovery. Otherwise, they lapse back. And that's the unfortunate nature of a chronic illness. Addiction is a chronic disease. Just like I would treat diabetes or high blood pressure, you need to treat addiction over the long term. And that's where insurance coverage becomes so important. And we think there's about 150,000 people who would qualify for Medicaid if we were to move forward with closing the coverage gap. That would benefit. We've been able to get 10,000, 15,000 people into treatment with these grant dollars.
Yeah.
Imagine what we could do if we had just that one more tool, with no state tax dollars needed to be utilized here. It's time. And I need those tools to be able to fight the opioid crisis. Like I said, I think a lot of great federal investment has been made here, and we're happy to have those grant dollars, but now we need to move into a sustained way. And if, again, going back to Ohio, looking at what they have been able to do, or West Virginia, again, another state that was really hard hit by the opioid crisis, has Medicaid expansion. They've been able to make huge strides in combating their opioid crisis, and I want to bring that here to North Carolina.
Speaking of getting people access to health care, The Trump administration has not done a very good job of promoting the Affordable Care Act and people's ability to sign up for it, but they can do it. They should be doing it right now, right? You should be going out there and getting enrolled.
That's right. It's open enrollment. Happy open enrollment, everyone. From now until December 15th, if you go to healthcare.gov, you can search for plans if you don't have insurance, or even if you're currently covered by an Obamacare plan, and look for options for your family. Most people can get insurance coverage for between $50 and $100 per month. And so we want folks to have that peace of mind. And again, it goes back to, you never know if you're going to unfortunately be in an accident. You need that insurance coverage, because we don't want folks to be one injury away or one unfortunate cancer diagnosis away from bankruptcy. Like, that's not peace of mind for folks. And so we want folks to know before December 15th, go check it out, see what you're eligible for. Like I said, more than 80% of folks can get something for between $50 to $100 a month. So go and check out your options now. Now is the time.
And speaking of people doing things they should be doing this time of year, if you haven't gotten your flu shot, right? I mean, that's absolutely essential. Folks should be out there getting that taken care of.
Absolutely. So last year was our worst flu season on record. We've already had a flu death. And so it's really important folks get their flu shot. Flu shot is the best way to protect yourself against the flu. Obviously, do the normal other good stuff, which is wash your hands. If you're sick, make sure that you're, you know, talking to your doctor. If you're getting body aches and fevers and chills, talking to your doctor about your symptoms. But like I said, last year was the worst flu season on record with 390 deaths. Most of those are for folks who are over the age of 65, but everyone should be getting their flu shot. We want to protect everyone. I think everyone knows someone who had the flu last year, and I'll raise my, you've known me, I had the flu last year, and that's despite the, I got my flu shot. So we know flu shot doesn't mean 100% protection, but I know that my flu was not as bad because I had the flu shot. And so I was able to sort of get back to the to work and stuff a lot quicker last year because I had the flu shot. So both to protect yourself, hopefully you won't get the flu at all, or if you happen to get the flu, it certainly lessens the impact of it. So it's really, really important that you get the flu shot this year.
And if people believe it's coming on, contact a healthcare professional right away. Don't wait around because there may be some things that can be done in some instances. For
yeah,
people.
In some cases, doctors can prescribe something called Tamiflu,
right,
which can lessen the severity of things. But, you know, it's also a virus and the body recovers. Using myself as an example, I did not do Tamiflu, and, you know, you sort of ride it out and make sure to drink a lot of water. But again, staying home, not spreading your germs, also really important. And again, washing your hands and all of that. So flu shot is really the most important thing. I took my two daughters down to the Wake County Public Health Department. We got our flu shots all together. My kids are 4 and 6, got their flu shots, and you know, want to encourage all families to not wait and get their flu shots now.
Well, Dr. Mandy Cohen, thank you very much for all you do for our state, your leadership at the Department of Health and Human Services. We wish you all the best of luck.
Thanks so much for chatting with me today.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.